The man suspected as a source of the largest intelligence leak in U.S. history faces a pretrial hearing tomorrow. Bradley Manning is believed to have provided the anti-secrecy site WikiLeaks with a mountain of digital classified information on Iraq, Afghanistan, and much more. When WikiLeaks published State Department memos, some pundits proclaimed that this new brand of reporting would change everything. Arun Roth of our partner program Frontline takes a look at how much has really changed for journalism, whistleblowers, and secrecy itself.
When WikiLeaks began to pour out documents from the massive trove of U.S. government memos, the grand ambitions of the site seemed on the verge of realization. Journalism would never be the same. Tyrants had to shudder. This was the beginning of a golden age for whistleblowers.
Unfortunately, I think the opposite is closer to the truth.
Stephen Aftergood directs the Project on Government Secrecy, which promotes public access to government information.
In terms of systemic openness, there has been a predictable counter-reaction setting in. And in place of greater transparency, we are seeing heightened security on information.
That heightened security extends to material many security analysts say never should have been classified in the first place. In 2009, President Obama signed an executive order that should have stopped all the overclassification. But this year, the federal government classified 40% more documents than the previous year.
No one has ever been held accountable for improperly classifying information in the first place.
J. William Leonard was the nation's classification czar under President George W. Bush from 2002 to 2007. Leonard thinks government secrecy is out of control. He's been very disappointed so far by the government's response to WikiLeaks.
What we are confronted with is, like it or not, a tremendous volume of heretofore classified information has been entered into the public domain. Okay, so what's the damage? This gives us a perfect opportunity to almost use it as a laboratory in terms of assessing our fundamental assumptions in terms of what constitutes information that requires protection.
Leonard says no one in the current administration seems to be seizing this opportunity. And while the government ratchets up security and expands classification, potential leakers are rattled by what they've seen in the Bradley Manning case. Again, Stephen Aftergood.
They're either thinking twice or they're taking more sophisticated measures to protect themselves, or in some cases, less sophisticated measures in the sense of, you know, not dealing with email or any kind of internet-based communication and simply sharing information in much more old-fashioned ways.
But for reporters on the national security beat, the old-fashioned ways seem to be doing just fine. Dana Priest is a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter for The Washington Post.
Despite all the hoopla around WikiLeaks and a lot of the public condemnation by the government of WikiLeaks, I don't think it's changed much at all for investigative reporters. If you've done national security for a long time, like I have and most of the reporters doing it have, you've developed trusting relationships with people over the long run.
WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has criticized mainstream news organizations, and he's described WikiLeaks as a pure, scientific journalism. But to claim science, you need to be able to reproduce a result. So far, WikiLeaks hasn't done that. Dana Priest thinks that's because the massive cable leak was a one-off, as unique as the Pentagon Papers.
I don't think that's generally the way information comes to reporters, through anonymous. I mean, people might think that comes, you know, in the night in a package anonymously, but it doesn't really. It's the relationship building.
WikiLeaks has stayed silent most of the past year, which Julian Assange blames on an economic blockade. The New York Times and Wall Street Journal seemed poised to fill the vacuum. They were developing their own sites to accept material from anonymous leakers. But both efforts have stalled out. Again, Stephen Aftergood.
It reflects the fact that the core element of WikiLeaks' disclosure activities is not the platform for receiving leaks, or the relationships with the news media, or the colorful personalities of WikiLeaks proprietors. None of that is essential. What is essential is the leaker, the individual who decides to break ranks, break the rules, perhaps break the law.
The importance of the source, the individual leaker, is becoming clearer now as attention shifts from a globe-trotting provocateur to a troubled 24-year-old Army private about to face the courtroom in Fort Meade, Maryland. For Frontline and the World, I'm Arun Roth.